There's a high drive to right. Is it fair? Down the line. It is a grand slam into the water. Can you believe it? And they all score, including the man who hit the ball. Incredibly, the Giants have come from 7-0 behind, and Yastrzemski has put them ahead.
Don't know what to say. I mean, the particles and the magic and the heft. I mean, every day that ticks off of the calendar, they move one day closer to the end of the season, and they're still in it. 7-0 deficit conquered last night in most dramatic fashion. Andy Bagley of The Athletic here on his weekly visit with us. We just check in on a Wednesday with Andy, and they ain't going nowhere, Andy. They're still atop the NL West. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good. How about you?
Well, I mean, wow. I mean, that was premium entertainment last night,
yeah,
huh?
Great night.
I mean, yesterday the state officially opened, right? We've been all kind of locked down and our lives on pause for almost a year and a half. And, you know, we got to wait for the next homestand for the Giants to fully open. And you know, they got logistic things to figure out, so they couldn't really do it yesterday. And we'll have a full ballpark again or close to it. And, you know, if this team is compelling like we think it's going to be, then maybe they will have close to capacity crowds as we get in the second half. But you know, even though it was only 9,000 plus in the ballpark yesterday, it felt like a capacity crowd, the way that everyone was screaming and dancing in the aisles and high-fiving each other and hugging each other. And, you know, I mean, Mike Yastrzemski gave everybody a moment, and it was a moment that you really hadn't seen real live breathing people in the ballpark experience in a long time. And that was just, I mean, that was something that had to be for any Giant who was at that ballpark last night, who saw what, how the Giants came back. I mean, that's what the whole fan experience is all about. Maybe we'll get to see more of that moving forward.
Hey, apologies for throwing this hot potato to you because I couldn't find the research on this. So I wish I could, but is that the biggest comeback in that park's history for the Giants?
I don't think so. I remember there was a Red Series where they came back from being 10 runs down and then eventually lost.
2010, right?
Yeah, that was a weird series.
Was it,
it was like 90 degrees in the ballpark.
Yeah,
but,
I remember that, yeah.
And I think they have come back from larger deficits. I don't have it in front of me. I can tell you this, that Mike Yastrzemski going into yesterday's game was batting 083 with runners in scoring position. And this is a guy who was listed on 24 of 30 NL MVP ballots last year. I mean, he was, you know, consensus almost one of the most valuable players in the league. And as much as the Giants have kind of controlled everything in baseball's best division and surprised everybody through 40% of the season, you know, he's example number one of why you can't say they've been playing universally over their heads, because he hasn't really been doing what he did in the previous year and a half. And the cool thing about what Yastrzemski did in last year is that he led the major leagues in a win probability added. So nobody did more to help turn losses into wins. And you got to play for a certain type of team that plays close games, et cetera. But nobody did more than him to come through in those moments that were the biggest most often. And I mean, you can't do better for win probability added than hit a grand slam in the eighth inning to erase a 3-run deficit. So big moment for him, big moment for the team.
Yeah. And as you point out the numbers, I mean, he pointed out what he got, 24 of 30 MVP votes last year. And then he wasn't delivering at his level this year. He's so important to that lineup. You're right about the extra work he put in yesterday, but boy, if this guy gets hot, that's what you're looking for, right? I mean, I don't want to say there was a regression, but he wasn't producing at the numbers people thought.
No, and you could see it. He got off to a little bit of a rough start. You know, he was a little nicked up at the end of spring training, and, you know, he was chasing a little bit more than we're accustomed to. He had the oblique, you know, hurt his thumb when he crashed into the wall. So really hadn't gotten a chance to just settle in and start getting into the habits that he had gotten into the previous couple years. And really, you know, as much as we talk about Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria, as hard as he was hitting the ball before he got hurt, you know, and we think, okay, this is the old guard. They're the leaders on this team. Even though Mike Yastrzemski wasn't around for those World Series teams, I feel like he's as much of a leader and as much of an example for that clubhouse as anybody they have. I mean, they just take their cues from him. We saw them do it all last year, And we've seen him do it this year too. So to see him have kind of a breakout game where he lifts the club, it's got to be big for him. And like you said, they were out there 4 hours before the first pitch, hitting on the field, putting in the work. And he said that almost this exact swing he worked on was the swing that he employed to hit that grand slam, which just barely stayed fair and somehow straightened out and splashed in the water.
I mean, big picture, what I said coming in is like it's June 16th now and they still haven't faded. There's no June swoon. I mean, we considered the swoon splitting a road trip. That was considered the swoon.
Yeah, like people were like upset by that, yeah.
And I mean, you're the Padres now. You're five back. Now, listen, I know it's a long way to go and the Giants did it to the Padres in 2010, but you're sort of looking at this, and I wonder if the Dodgers and Padres are like, okay, we're getting closer to the halfway point, and the Giants haven't faded yet. I wonder if there's that sense. I mean, Tim Kuhn did the big ESPN piece. I mean, I know you write about him every day, but there was a little national shine for the Giants. Is there a bigger picture that going on that, geez, man, they're just not going away?
Well, I think that you talk to what the Dodgers were saying after the last series, and they definitely respect what the Giants have done and didn't count them out. And, we know that the Dodgers and Padres were expected to be maybe the two best teams in baseball. So for there to be kind of a third wheel in the division that's not only right there with them but has been leading the way, yeah, it really disrupts what everyone's expectations were. And I think everyone kind of looks for their expectations to be sort of normalized over time and that the Giants will, kind of give it up after a while and fade and become, what everyone thought they were going to be. But yeah, you watch this team and they've got a lot that they need to do to stay healthy. They obviously had to get through a bullpen game yesterday and were down 7-0 after two innings. And, that's not a place they want to put themselves in very often. But you got to keep the pedal to the metal too, because as much as last night's win was a big one, it would have been a tough loss because the Diamondbacks had lost 20 road games in a row. There's almost a certain pressure on the other team to not lose to a team going that bad. And, the Diamondbacks, I think, are 9-30 on the road. The Rockies, I think, are, 5-27 on the road. So, the Padres and Dodgers are going to have a lot of opportunities to clean up because they still have a lot of games left against those two teams. And it might not be getting any better. So, the Giants have to do the same if they hope to be right there when all this is said and done. And so far, they're holding up their part.
Well, it's funny. Like I said, if we were doing this show on Monday, we would be, oh, my God, they got shut out in Washington. And then here comes Arizona. And all of a sudden, they got two more, by the way, one tonight and DeSclafani tonight at 6:45 and then tomorrow afternoon. So, I mean, if we were doing this show on Monday, would you have been sounding an alarm bell on the Giants?
Well, Grant Brisby and I do our podcast on Monday, and we talked about it quite a bit. And it was sort of said that it was a series where they scored three runs in four games, and they somehow won two of them. And it wasn't a series that disrupts your momentum from a winning streak, losing streak standpoint, which is how we sort of generally think about momentum. It did kind of disrupt their momentum in terms of how they orchestrate wins, because the offense did sort of peter out, and they did, Kevin Gausman and Johnny Cueto did get kind of ambushed early where we're not used to seeing them fall behind. I mean, this is a team that gets leads in 85% of the games that they've played, and that's just remarkable. So they got taken out of their sort of game a little bit in that Washington series, but, you look up and they won two out of four, and it was in the heat, and you had two weird seven-inning games, and you had Max Scherzer go out, and all of a sudden you got a bunch of relievers coming in you hadn't prepared for. So it was a weird series, too. And I think that if they allowed it to get in their heads, then, it might have been a problem. But clearly, this is a team that does a good job hitting mistakes. And when they face staffs and teams that have, maybe bullpen arms on the back or on the less leveraged end that aren't very good, if they can get those guys into the game, they'll generally pick out mistakes and barrel them. This team's done a very good job of that. And certainly they did a good job, even coming back and keeping their nose in there when they got down early yesterday.
The Andy Bagley weekly visit with the Murph and Max show. Andy Bagley from theathletic.com. Check him out. Wrote about Yaz and the work he put in yesterday to lead to that moment. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Darren Ruff, Logan Webb, these kind of guys. Dickerson, what kind of roster moves do you see happening in the next few days?
I mean, yeah, they've got a lot of people who are optionable, right? I mean, even the problem is that some of those guys are playing well. You know, Steven Duggar was having a little bit of a lull there, and his strikeout numbers were creeping up and creeping up. But then he hits a big homer to get things started yesterday. Lamont Wade Jr. has had good plate appearances. He's almost been kind of another version of Mike Tauchman in terms of seeing a ton of pitches and getting on base. And so, yeah, it's they have guys they can option. They have it's not like they're going to have to, you know, sacrifice people to the DFA gods to make some of these moves. But yeah, there'll be tough choices. And I think we already saw it with Caleb Berrigar being sent out. That was the first time, you know, he's really been optioned in his career. And they've tried to create this roster where they can bring people up and down and have that flexibility. And as the season's gone along, they've gotten a little bit more flexible. So, yeah, Darren Ruff is getting close. They think Alex Dickerson will be ready when he's eligible. And John Brebbia, too, is pretty close. And we'll see what they want to do with Tyler Beede, who is getting stretched out but has had quite a few walks in his starts. And, you know, they do have one day through the rotation where they're kind of staff gaming it right now with Sammy Long as their bulk guy. You know, they may want to transition Long to another role or stick with it or maybe give Beede a little more time. So they've got a lot of evaluations, a lot of decisions to make. But the good thing is they've got choices.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the depth is crazy. I mean, you know, LaStella, I mean, he's coming back in a couple of weeks. It's nuts. So, Andy, going forward now into the weekend, here comes Philly. Again, not just looking past these Arizona games, but just a little bit on the schedule. You know, the A's next week looms a little bit. You know, Philly, I don't know, you kind of like the matchup. I don't know, what do you think of the schedule the next week or two?
I don't know, I think every series is an opportunity to, you know, kind of either keep the momentum going or have it stall out a little bit, whoever your opponent is. And sometimes it's not even who you're playing, but just when you're catching them. I mean, that seems to be the story every season. You know, you'll have a team that's in last place, but you'll just hit them when they're hot. And if you do that, then you're going to have to execute. So I don't know if they're really looking at the schedule thinking this is a big series, this is not a big series. They really do seem to have a real disciplined air about them for just preparing for whatever's in front of them. And this is a coaching staff and especially a hitting group, but really both sides, that they just, I mean, they study like it's the bar exam for every opponent. And so whether it's the Phillies or whether it's the two games in Anaheim coming up, or then the A's after that. And that'll be fun, I think, when the A's and Giants play each other, because these are two of the best teams in baseball, and they're right here in the Bay Area. And, you know, there's probably always a little bit extra when Farhan gets to face one of his old teams. So, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And you know, hey, we're going to have giveaways again. We're going to have promotions again. The Friday, the 25th, is it? When the Giants will have a full-capacity crowd. The next day? You're getting Mike Yastrzemski bobbleheads that
nice.
They've had long balls for over a year, and good timing on that one, right?
Yeah. In fact, the family's going. The Murphy family will be there. That game's a 7:05. This is the smallest of potatoes, but I just wonder why that game's a 7:05 start. All the other Saturday games are 6:05 this year. I don't know.
Good question. It's probably TV. 95% of the time, the answer is TV.
Yeah, just an odd one kind of stuck out at me there. And then finally, last one for you, Andy. You know, short window to answer this, like 60 seconds, but the foreign substance rule. Are you watching the umps now? Are you watching the shakedowns? Are you going to watch the inspections?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun. Are you kidding me? I was talking with Ed Montague yesterday. You know, umpired 35 years, a longtime Bay Area guy. Father played in the PCL. And he was spinning some stories about some of the stuff he had to do during his time. He was the guy who ejected Chris Sabo for having a cork bat with all sorts of Super Bowls bouncing out of it. You know, he umpired Gaylord Perry when he was throwing his rosin puff ball and you know, told me all kinds of stories. So I actually, during the game last night, when it looked like a total clunker of a game, I thought, well, I'm not going to write anything off this. So I was writing up remembrances from Ed Montague about cheating in the 60s and 70s. and this is fun. This is a fun story to do on a nothing burger game night. And then, of course, the Giants come back, so I ended up writing two stories. So both of those are on our site now.
The Montague one is up. I saw the Yaz one. I'll look for the cheating one. That'll be fun, too. Good fun read.
Yeah, that was fun to write.
All right, good stuff, Andy. Always enjoy the weekly hits. Keep reading you in The Athletic, and enjoy the rest of the week.
All right, same to you. Take care.
There he is, Andy Begley, covering the first-place Giants.
First-place Giants.
KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.